Good morning. We're going to continue our series on God's care, specifically focusing on the resilience we have because God cares for us. And last time we focused on anything, that just God can do anything we need. And now we're going to look at the opposite of it. We're going to look at the word nothing. Just like He can do anything for us, the opposite of that is nothing can hinder us. Nothing can stop us. There is nothing too hard for God. So it'll be fun looking through some of these records. Let's start here in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. We'll read an interesting record about the early part of the reign of Asa. Asa was the son of Abijah. They were both kings of Judah. This was a time when Judah was doing a pretty good job believing the true God, and Israel was not doing a good job believing the true God. Because, as I've said before, when it came after the kingdom split, after the death of Solomon, the 12 tribes of Israel split to where the northern, the northern 10 tribes were called Israel, and the southern 2 tribes of Judah and Benjamin were called the kingdom of Judah. And for the most part, the kingdom of Israel walked away from God, whereas the kingdom of Judah sort of went back and forth. With some kings, they walked with God, with some they didn't. So we're going to read about a very positive time with King Asa. So here in 2 Chronicles 14, verse 1, "So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet for 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images." Those are the pagan temples. "And the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years. Why? Because the Lord had given him rest." And what a great thing to do. What a great thing to trust in the true God, believe him, and just have the Lord give you rest. "Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with 300, with an host of 1,000,000. So he had 1,000,000 warriors and 300 chariots, and came unto Maresha. So Asa was quite outnumbered. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Maresha. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, it's nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God. It's nothing for you." See, it's absolutely nothing. God has no problem saving his people with many or with few. Remember some of those times when the believers were being bombarded and God just made a noise in the bushes and all the soldiers thought it was an army marching on them and they fled? Or the time when Jehoshaphat was being invaded by 3 armies, and God somehow worked it that the 3 armies killed each other off, so there was nobody left for Jehoshaphat to fight. Well, here's another example. What a great thing. He says, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Welcome. We're in 2 Chronicles 14. We're in 2 Chronicles 14, verse 11. You can't hear me? Well, turn your phone up or sit. You can't hear me. That's no fun. Well, maybe you better sit closer to the phone or turn the volume up on your phone, because this is how I normally talk. I'll put the phone a little closer to myself. There we go. Okay, try that now. Here we are in 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 11. It says, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, it's nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee." So we're looking at places where the word nothing is used. Okay, good. Well, then sit over where you can hear. We're looking at the word nothing, and a lot of verses talking about there's nothing God can't do for us. Reminds me of the two guys somebody talked about. One guy said, yep, there's nothing I wouldn't do for my friend Fred, and there's nothing Fred wouldn't do for me. That's why we've been doing nothing for each other. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing that he can't handle. And again, it says it's nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. Then here in 2 Chronicles 14, verse 12, "So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled." So even though the Ethiopians greatly outnumbered the Judeans, the Lord smote them, and the Ethiopians fled. "And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves. For they were destroyed before the Lord, and before his host, before his army, and they carried away very much spoil, and they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. They spoiled the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil, riches, in them. They smote also the tents of the cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem." So again, as it says in verse 11, it's nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. That's just something that won't stop God. Another verse with the word nothing in it is in Psalm 119, a very popular verse we like to read. Psalm 119 and verse 165. Psalm 119, 165. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them or make them stumble." People that love God's word have great peace because they know God's going to take care of them. They know they have nothing to worry about. And nothing shall offend them or make them stumble because they so love God's word, God's law. They focus on it. They think about it. They meditate on it. And they have great peace and they don't stumble. Ecclesiastes 2. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Here in chapter 2, here we go. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 24. "There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God." Sometimes we think that if we're not off running, changing the world, and doing 1,000 great, mighty things that show up in the news, that somehow we're not making a difference in the world. Well, it says here, there's nothing better. Nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. So it's important to remember that. People will always be dragging you off after their cause or their group. And sometimes it's a good cause and it's a good group. Nothing wrong with that. But there's still nothing better than that you just eat, drink, and enjoy your work. That's fundamental to life. Nothing better than that. There are other things that are good, but there's nothing better than that. That his soul should enjoy good in all his labor. Mark 8. here we are with Jesus Christ speaking to the multitude and feeding them. Mark chapter 8, verse 1. Mark 8 and verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great, and having what to eat? Nothing to eat. Nothing to eat. They had nothing to eat. Now, if you had a big multitude, thousands and thousands of people out in the wilderness with nothing to eat, they might not stick around for the second half of your teaching. They might run back to town and scrounge around for lunch. But when he had called the people unto him, excuse me, I'm sorry, Mark 8, verse 1, here we are. In those days, the multitude being very great, a very large crowd, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto them and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Wow, that's quite a fellowship they had. It lasted 3 whole days with no food. If I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers, many of them, came from far, a long way away. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? We're out in the middle of nowhere. We can't just call up, you know, local deli or the local supermarket or the local catering company and say, cook up a bunch of food and set up some serving lines like we do today. Said, we can't do that. How can we do that in the wilderness? Verse 5, and he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and gave thanks, and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them before them. So they did eat, and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. So they had nothing to eat. Jesus had compassion on them because they had nothing to eat. Yet God somehow stretched that few loaves and fishes out to serve 4,000 people. So it's another thing that nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for God. In John chapter 16, in John 16, verse 23, here we go, John 16 and verse 23, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Because this is towards the end of Jesus Christ's earthly ministry when people had been asking him for stuff. And he had taught them and ministered to them and performed great miracles, and they came to him with questions. And he's talking about the time in the future when they would have the Spirit of God born within. And he says, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Isn't that great? Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. So we don't have to, we can't physically go to Jesus Christ because he's not physically here on the earth. But we have a spirit born within, so we can go to God our Father in the name of Jesus Christ and ask for what we need, and God will give it to you. Verse 24, hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. You haven't asked God in my name. You've been asking me. Going forward, though, ask. Ask in my name, and you shall receive, that your joy shall be full. So we don't have to pray to Jesus Christ. We don't have to pray to Mother Mary. We don't have to pray to the saints who are dead and have no consciousness, like many people do. We can pray to God, our Father, in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's how we get answers to prayer. Great. Let's go to Romans 8, verse 38. Here we go. Romans 8 and verse 38. Romans 8, verse 38. For I am persuaded, I'm convinced, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, from the love of Christ. Love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us. There may be things that can separate you from your job, if the boss isn't happy with you. There may be things that can separate you from your car, if you don't make the payments on it. There may be things that can separate you from your house, if it burns down. There may be things that can separate you from your phone if you lose it, but there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And as much as it's nice to have a job, a house, a phone, and a car, I'd much rather have the love of God, because with that in your life, you can get anything else you need. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. It is absolutely always available. God will always love you through the work of his Son, and it's never, should never be a concern that something could happen in your life, or you could do something in your life, or somebody could do something to you that would cause you to no longer have the love of God in your life. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, please. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself. And there in verse 4, that know nothing by myself can actually be better translated nothing against myself, or nothing of which I am guilty. So it's not that he knows nothing by himself, he knows nothing against himself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. You see, he knows nothing of which he's guilty, because Jesus Christ has paid for his sins. Yet, he's not justified because of his actions, justified or made righteous, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest or evident the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. People love to judge each other and condemn each other. And it says here, judge nothing before the time. And we know Paul made mistakes. He wasn't perfect. He was a tremendous leader of God's people, but he wasn't perfect. But even though he wasn't perfect, we know he made mistakes. He says, I know nothing of which I am guilty, because Jesus Christ gave his life to pay for our sins, which is why the guilt was paid for by Jesus Christ. What an amazing, amazing thing. I know nothing of which I am guilty. Philippians 1, verse 27. The word nothing shows up a lot in Philippians in the King James Version that we're reading here. Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation, your way of life, your way of conduct, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in what? Nothing terrified by your adversaries. Just don't let anything get to you. In nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition or destruction, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to also suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. So I'm nothing terrified by our adversaries. People may stand against us, may try to cause us all kinds of trouble, but we just will not get terrified because God can take care of us. Nothing's too hard for God. Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. We shouldn't do anything by striving, arguing, fighting with each other, having vainglory. You know, I'm better than you. You're a worse sinner than me, blah, blah, blah. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. So we don't do things. We do nothing through strife or vainglory. Philippians 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And that word forgetting can be translated caring nothing about them. We care nothing about those things which are behind. We just don't care about them. We care nothing about those things which are behind. Instead, we reach forth unto those things which are before. Because really, what can you do about what happened in the past? If it's good that what happened in the past, great. But you still got to live today. Just because 2017 was the perfect year, you just really can't care much about that because you got to live 2018. And if 2017 was a terrible year and you did everything wrong and everybody did wrong things to you, so what? It's over. Move on and trust God to live today. So forgetting or caring nothing about those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect spiritually, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. In Philippians 4, another very familiar record we read a lot because it's so applicable to our daily lives. Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. See, I can be moderate. I can be even-tempered. I can be patient and understanding because God's here. I don't have to be on a tirade trying to get everybody to do exactly what I want and getting mad at them if they don't do it because the Lord's here. He'll take care of stuff. Whether I get everything right or you get everything right, not that big a deal because God's here and he'll help out. Then in verse 6, be careful, anxious, worried, stressed out, mentally distracted for how many things? Nothing, but in everything by prayer and by supplication, making specific prayers with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We just don't get worried about stuff. We are anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we let your request be made known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So we just get anxious and worried for absolutely nothing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. See, we need these things if we're to be resilient. And much of God's care is having nothing that can stop us, nothing being too hard for God, being anxious for nothing. That these are some of the keys that help us be resilient with God's care in our daily lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. What great exhortation. I know you guys love the believers, just love them more. And that you study to be quiet. Isn't that great? Endeavor. Study. Aspire to live a quiet life. Study to be quiet. Aspire to live a quiet life. And to do your own business. And to work with your own hands as we commanded you. That you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of what? Nothing. If we quietly look to God, peacefully do our own work, peacefully trust God, we'll have lack of absolutely nothing, because we'll be doing what God wants and God will be providing for us. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. A couple of sections here to wrap up with today. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1. First Timothy 6:1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke, so these are slaves, because remember in their culture, with rough estimates, about a third of the people were Roman citizens with tremendous rights, to due process of law, like all American citizens enjoy. About a third of them were freed men, who didn't have the rights of citizens, but neither were they owned by anyone. And then there were slaves who had no rights at all. They were property. Yet, if they had good masters, they lived good lives. If they had bad masters, they lived very bad lives. But they were just an accepted part of the society. And many times they were educated. Many times they could run a business on the side and save money and buy their freedom. Sometimes they couldn't. But when it talks about believers being under the yoke, it's people in the fellowship who were slaves. So, here in 1 Timothy 6, verse 1 again, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing what? Nothing. So if somebody doesn't stick with God's word, he knows nothing. I mean, he may know how to dig a ditch and how to fix the roof and how to do other things they had to do in their culture, but as far as spiritually, if he doesn't stick to the truth of God's word, he knows nothing. But doting about questions and strifes of words, wherefore cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Not good stuff. Verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, disposing that gain is godliness, and from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment. Where godliness, you know, where we walk with God and we're content about it, that's great gain. For we brought how much into this world? Nothing. Uncertain we're going to carry out nothing. So, we brought nothing into this world. We're not going to take anything out of it. So, let's just trust God to provide what we need while we're there. And then, one to close here in James 1. James chapter 1. And then we'll do a little review of what we've looked at. Actually, we'll maybe do a review of what we saw last week and this week. James chapter 1, verse 2. Here we go, James 1, 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or varied temptations, knowing this, that the trying or testing of your faith works or produces patience. When you get pushed and have to deal with stuff you haven't dealt with before, it produces patience because you come to realize that you can handle stuff because God helps you along the way. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire or complete, wanting or lacking nothing. When we're patient to trust God, we will lack nothing because God will always come through. But we have to be patient in tough situations. We have to work with our own minds to trust God. We have to work with our own minds and abilities to do those things we can do to help the situation. And then we simply have to be patient and wait with expectation on God for Him to come through for us. And as we do that, we develop patience, we develop confidence, we develop trust in God, and then we lack nothing. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. When you ask for wisdom, God doesn't say, you stupid ninny. He says, okay, I'll help you be wise. So if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth liberally to all men, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in believing, nothing wavering. We don't waver in anything. We just have great confidence that God will come through. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. We simply have to have the confidence that God will come through for us, that he'll provide for us, that he'll supply our needs, and that wherever we are, whatever is going on, he'll take care of us. Well, let's take a little review of what we looked at last time and this time. Okay, then I'll review our schedule. Oops, got to look at the other document. Just a minute. It's right over here. Okay, last time. Got a little ahead of myself here. Last time we started out with Sarah having a son in her old age, and it says in Genesis, is anything too hard for the Lord? And then if two of you agree, anything they ask shall be done. And God can do anything above all we ask or think. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Of those. And then in 1 John, this is a confidence we have that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And today we looked at the opposite, the word nothing. It's nothing with God to help, whether with many or with few. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. There's nothing better than that his soul enjoy good in all his labor. And Jesus Christ had compassion on the multitude because they had nothing to eat. And towards the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus Christ told his followers that once they were born again, in that day you shall ask me nothing, but whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. And Paul said, there's nothing I'm aware of which I'm guilty, because Jesus Christ justified him. And in nothing we're terrified by our adversaries. We do nothing through strife or vainglory. We care nothing about those things which are behind. We're anxious for nothing. We have lack of nothing. And we can be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. And when we pray, we ask in believing, nothing wavering. So it's great that God has such tremendous care for us. It's great that we can be so resilient. Again, as we've said many times, we don't go around looking for problems or trouble, but it seems to find us, which makes sense because the devil's the god of this world, and All men sin and fall short of the glory of God, and we're made of dust, so we don't do things perfectly. So there's going to be challenges in life. But there's nothing too hard for God. He can do anything we need, and he'll be there to take care of us. So let's continue to look to God, continue to pray for one another, continue to expect God's blessing in our lives, and just enjoy the great victories available through Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love, for your kindness, for these wonderful, wonderful saints on the line here. May we pray for one another and expect the very best and enjoy walking with you day by day. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, amen. Hey, now, a schedule update. This is our last teaching for October. Next weekend, I'll be in Connecticut with my parents who are on the line here, and we're going to go to their local fellowship there. Then various people have travel conflicts in November, so we're going to meet twice, on the 11th and the 18th. Instead of meeting every other week, we're going to meet the two middle Sundays in November, the 11th and the 18th, and the 18th that will likely be at the Dundon's home. So mark your calendars. The next two teachings are November 11 and November 18, and then in December we'll try to get back to the every other week normal schedule. But November 11th, November 18th, we'll meet at 10:30 a.m. So God bless you all. It's been great having you on the line today, and for those of you listening in on the website, we love you. We're praying for you as well. And may you just be very blessed to have the Word of God in your heart and trust God in all you do. So love you guys. And if the Lord tarries, we'll talk to you again on November 11th. Bye-bye.